Today's daf is Yud Aleph. We're going to start a bunch of lines down, maybe 10 lines down. Lema Kitanai. Yesterday we saw that we had a machloket between Barpada and Rabbi Yochanan. It was the very beginning of the Gemara on Yud Amabet, and that's where it says Gemara at the bottom. Barpada said, Ein Kedusha Chala Leubarim, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Kedusha Chala Leubarim. There was a whole debate about whether you could be Makdish a fetus. So now, and then we had, remember Rabbi Yochanan said it also about when the mother was pregnant, and then we said, why did he say both? And then we have four questions on Barpada, and we answered all of those. And now we're going to say, maybe really what they're debating is Machloket Tana'i. Here's the source. Hashochet et ha-chatat u-matzaba ben arba. Let's say you're slaughtering the korban chatat, and all of a sudden you find inside there's a four-month-old fetus. Now, if you remember, animal fetuses are generally, the gestation period is 5 months. So it's kind of like a ben shmone, like a nefel, right, for a human. So not all animal gestations, but the ones that, you know, the fasim and the izim, you know, the ones that we generally sacrifice were 5 months. Cows, forget all the gestation periods. Cows were 9 or a year, I forget. But it was the, okay. So anyway, you slaughter the chatat and you find a ben arba. This is out of 5. Chai, and it's alive, okay? It can live. So now, katan echada, so one says, now remember, this is like a ben pikua. Remember, you slaughter the mother and you don't even need to shech the animal inside. So now, one braita says, and here we're going to see, it's a machloka tana'im. One braita says, eina ne'echelet ele lezechei kuhuna, ve'eina ne'echelet ele lifnim min ha'kla'im, ve'eina ne'echelet ele liyom echad. All the laws of chatat apply to this fetus, meaning it can only be eaten to male kohanim, it can only be eaten in the azara, the Beit HaMikdash, and it can only be eaten for one day, because that's when a chatat can be eaten. B'tanya idach, and the other braita says, ne'echelet l'chol adam, anyone can eat it. Ne'echalim b'chol makom, anywhere. Ve'na ne'echalim b'azara. They can't be eaten in the azara because they're chulin. So what do you see here? One says the fetus could be sanctified. Now, again, this is a little trickier because it's not exactly someone sanctified the fetus. This is the animal was sanctified and the fetus was inside. Now, if you say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that ubar lav yerech imo, and it's an independent entity, then you could say, well, the Kedusha was on both. And that's why this ends up as a korban chatat. If you say that the animal was pregnant and therefore the ubar was sanctified, but we say ubarim aren't sanctified according to Barpada. Now, everyone agrees, even though we saw this yesterday, that when you sanctify the mother, we call that vlad kodshim, right? But what does vlad kodshim mean? Vlad kodshim means an animal born from a sanctified animal. This animal wasn't born, okay? So now we're going to see this in a minute, but there's a debate about when does it become sanctified. If you say vlad kodshim, are they sanctified when they're born, when they come out of the birth canal? Or are they sanctified when they're created, you know, or when the sanctity hits the mother? So if you, this assumes right now that if you say Vlad, you know, everyone agrees that Vlad Hekdesh is Kodesh. The quest, even if you say that you can't sanctify a fetus, but through the mother, the fetus is just part of the mother and it will become sanctified, that's only then when it actually is born. This animal was never born because you slaughtered the mother and the animal was inside. Because it was never born, it never got sanctified. And because, again, you'd have to say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no, when you sanctified the mother, you sanctified the fetus also. You were basically sanctifying the entire thing as two separate things, and they're both sanctified. According to Barpada, that you don't, he doesn't view it that way. It would only have been sanctified if it was actually born.
Is the assumption that they knew that the animal
was pregnant? Right, that's a good question.
Exactly
whether they knew or not, and whether that's relevant.
Had the fetus in mind when you
right,
were
it's a good question. That's a good question.
Connected to the two different approaches, whether the fetus is considered a separate entity inside.
Right, so that's what they're assuming, right? Is it do we or do we not? And that's the machloket. But now they say, no, not necessarily. So my lav tonight, first they say, my lav tonight, is this not the machloket tana'im that we're talking about? Demar sevar kedusha chala lubarin, umar sevar ein kedusha chala lubarin. That's what we just explained. Then the Gemara says, lo. Really, the machloket is like this. Demar sabar, in other words, this is all vladot kodashim. This doesn't have anything to do with can you sanctify an ubar? Because that's about, let's say I said, is this ubar kadosh? This machloket is where you sanctify the mother. And the machloket between the two braitot is the following. Demar sabar vladot kodashim bahavayatan hin kadoshim. When they're born, they become kadosh, in which case this animal was never born, and it's not kadosh. And the first braita, Mar Savar, Vladei Kodashim b'me'eimanim kadoshim. As soon as they're in, right, once the pregnant animal is sanctified and they're inside, they immediately become sanctified. So therefore, if you slaughter the mother and the animal's inside, the animal will be sanctified. And that's the machloket about what's the moment where the kedusha is chal, you know, happens on the ubar. Is it b'me'eimo while it's still in utero, or is it when they're born? And that's why there's a debate here. Ibayt Ema, right? Obviously, if a regular animal is born, then there's no issue because everyone would agree then. It's only in this case, which is this weird case where the animal was slaughtered and the animal was still inside and still alive, that's when we have the question. The Ibayt Ema, another way of understanding the machloket is Chadatanahu. It's actually really one Tana who holds both these things. Chadamehalin matniata b'magdish behema v'acharkach nitabra. One was talking about someone who sanctified an animal and then she got pregnant. There's a distinction between, did you sanctify the animal while she was pregnant, in which case we're going to say the kedusha goes on the animal, or did you sanctify the animal first and then she became pregnant? Then we're not going to treat the ubar as having sanctity. Okay? So just to add, once you sanctify the mother while the mother's pregnant, then basically we view it like Rabbi Yochanan said, where it becomes, you're sanctifying both the mother and the ubar as separate entities. Okay? Tanya. Now we're going to have another opinion here, a different thing. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Okay, this brighter in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Kilayim. Utrefa, biyosei dofen, tumtum vandroginus, okay, an animal that's a crossbreed, an animal that's going to die within 12 months, or we'll see, there's a few definitions of trefa, but let's just use that for right now. Yotzei dofen, an animal that comes out not through natural birth, tumtum and androgynous, right, either it has, right, both signs of male and female, or it's hidden and we can't tell which one. Lo kedoshim velo makdishim. Now, what's unique about these animals? None of these animals can be brought as sacrifices. You're not allowed to use these animals to sacrifice.
Can't you just assume that the fetus that you find in the mother that you've just slaughtered is no lad yotzei came out in a way that will, and then that puts it into that category, and then you have an answer. At least you have a
no.
Category.
Well, then you can't slaughter it, but.
Isn't it sort of by definition, it's just been born in an unnatural way?
We're not talking about actually slaughtering it. We're talking about what's the status of its meat. Is its meat considered like meat of a chatat without slaughtering it?
Right. But
this means you can't slaughter it. It doesn't mean it's not. It can't be. It could have sanctity in a particular case, like we're going to see. A yotzei dofen can have sanctity. If it was born as a yotzei dofen and you want to say, I want to bring this as a sacrifice. In this case, what happened? It was sanctified before it became a yotzei dofen. So that's the issue.
But
you okay?
Could still be considered a yotzei dofen?
You wouldn't be able to say, I'm bringing this as a korban, but it's still, its meat could have you'd have to treat it like a chatat because its mother was a chatat. So those are two different things. So now, what do we say here? These things are lo kedoshim, they can't become sanctified, velo makedishim, and they can't cause other things to become sanctified. What exactly does that mean? So that was a braita. Here comes Shmuel to explain the braita. V'amar Shmuel. Lo kedoshim b'tmura, v'lo makdishim la'asot tmura. They can't become sanctified as a tmura, meaning you can't say, in other words, they can't become sanctified at all to be a sacrifice, and not only that, but you can't say, I'm going to take the sanctity from this animal and put it on a yotzei dofen. Okay? And lo makdishim la'asot tmura, you can't say, I'm going to take the sanctity from this yotzei dofen and put it on a different animal. Now, that's a very strange line to say because we just said it can't be sanctified. So how can you possibly even think that you'd be able to transfer kedusha from it to something else if it itself can't have sanctity? So they're going to ask about that. Vitanya and the Braita says about this, Amar Rabbi Meir, Me'achal she'enan kedoshin, if they can't be sanctified themselves, hey, Akamakdishim, how could you even think that they'd sanctify something else, that you can make a tmura out of this? So what do they answer? Iyatamotse ela, there's only a few cases we could find that would make sense. Now, there's a long list here. Only two of them could we give a case where this would be relevant, the Makdishim part. Magdish behema ba'achar kach nitrefa. Let's say you sanctified an animal, then it got sick and became a trefa before you sacrificed it. Then you try to do a tmura to it. That's what it's telling you. You can't do tmura. Tmura is not effective because at this point the animal's a trefa. And what's the other case? Exactly the one that I mentioned to you, Ruth, when you were asking. B'magdish vlad v'yatza derech dofen. If you were magdish a vlad, and then it was born C-section. So what do you see here? That, in other words, again, first it had sanctity, then it became pasul for a korban, right? You can't sacrifice it anymore because after you sanctified it, it was born in a way that doesn't allow you to sacrifice it. Then you might have thought maybe you could, if you did tmura, it would be effective. Comes the bride to teach you, Rabbi Elazar comes to teach you, it's not effective. Okay? So that's his source. That's how we explain the source. In the end, what do we say? Rabbi Eliezer must be referring to a case like this. What's unique about a case like this? What does this have to do with anything? Well, what does it prove? Ama Kaddish Vlad. What do you see here? Against Barpada. One could be Makdisha Vlad, and that works, because only here it didn't work because it ended up being born C-section. But if you were Makdisha Vlad and it was born normally, it would work. So now we're really stuck with Barpada. Barpada doesn't work with this Braita. No answer this time, right? Last time we had all these answers the way we explained them. So we now change Barpada's statement, okay? We're going to say like this. Amre b'tam b'me'e imo, b'tam b'me'e tmima, afilu Barpada nami mode de kaddish. If you have a perfectly good animal inside a perfectly good animal, right, an unblemished animal, then even Barpada agrees, if you sanctify the ubar, it will become kadosh. Lo nechleku ela, the case that we're having a machloket was bitam bime'e ba'alat mum, where the mother's a ba'alat mum, but the ubar is in good shape. Barpada savar kevan de'ime lo makdishin kdushat aguf hunami lo kadish. Because the mother can't become sanctified kedushat aguf because she's a ba'alat mum. Remember what happens? If you take a ba'alat mum and you say, I'm sanctifying you as a korban, it only has kedushat bedek habayit, right? Kedushat tamim, its value, but it doesn't have kedushat aguf. So you might have thought then, since it's inside the fetus of a pregnant mother who can't be sanctified kedushat aguf, so comes our pad and he says, hunami lo kadush. So also the ubar can't become kadosh. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, like we said, Rabbi Yochanan said, Hani kishte behemot ninu. They're like two separate animals. Ime hu delomakacha, she can't become sanctified kedushat aguf, aval hu kadosh, but the fetus itself can be because ubar lav yerech imo, right? It's not considered just a limb of its mother. So the debate about them now becomes very narrow. It's only if you have a blemished mother who's pregnant and you sanctify it, would the ubar, right, or you sanctify the ubar, are you allowed to sanctify an ubar if the mother doesn't even have kedushat aguf? Lishna achrina. There's another version now about this statement of Rabbi Eliezer. So again, Rabbi Eliezer said, kilayim utrefa v'yotzei dofen tumtav androgynous lo kedushim v'lo makdishim. So now, aval kilayim v'tumtav androgynous iya tamotzei ela b'vladei kodashim. The only case you could have, this case that it would make sense for Rabbi Eliezer about kilayim tumtum and androgynous, would only be about vladei kodashim. Uche Rabbi Yehuda shahaya omer havlad oset mura. Okay, let's work backwards. If you remember, we saw this in the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf. We're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda holds a vlad can do tmura. Okay, once it's born, right, the vlad kodashim, if you take it and say, I'm switching the kedushah to something else, it's oset tmura. So now it's trying to tell you that kilayim tumtum and androgynous, those though can't do tmura. In other words, a regular vlad can do tmura, but a kilayim tumtum and androgynous vlad kodshim, right? If the mother was sanctified and it was in utero sanctified, and then it was born, and then you want to do a tmura for that animal, you can't. Okay. Now again, that's only. Rabbi Eliezer could only be have made a statement according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the ones who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda say Vlad Kodashim can never do tmura on them, which means you wouldn't need it to say these are unique that you can't do tmura, right? So therefore, we're going to say, according to this, The way, right, this Lashon understands the Chidush of Rabbi Eliezer is that Kilan Tumtum and Androgynous, Bivladei Kodashim can't do Tmura, and they hold like Rabbi Yehuda that, right, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a regular Vlad can, just these can't. Halanu, these specifically, Dilo Kache Gufayu, because they themselves can't be sanctified Kedushat Aguf, because they can't be slaughtered as a sacrifice, therefore they can't. Avalu Barin Acherin Kedoshin. But other ubarim can be kadosh, can, if you did transfer the kedusha onto another animal, it would be effective. Amar Abaye. So now comes Abaye and he says, so now what do you see here again? You see that ubarim could become kadoshim, right? So ubarim and achirim are kadoshim, and that goes against barpada, right? This is just the second version of the previous question. So now here we're going to have the same answer, basically, or very similar. Just worded a little differently. Amar Abaye, Tam b'me'ei tmima divrei akol kadosh gufe. Again, he's going to say, right, the Barpada agrees that if it's Tam b'me'ei tmima, even that will be sanctified, and that explains this source, which says that regular fetuses can be kadosh. Divrei akol kadosh gufe, right, they can have kedushat aguf. Ela ki pligei b'me'ei ba'alat mum. The Barpada savar kevan di'imei nami lo kadosh. Lo kadosh gufa. My barpada says, since the mother, her guf can't be kadosh kedushat aguf because she's a balat mum. Ihu nami lo kadosh. The fetus also can't be. Ela lidame, right? Only its value can become kadosh. Rabbi Yochanan savar ula ubar lav yerech imahu. But Rabbi Yochanan holds the ubar here. It says it explicitly. That's why I said it says it in different words. Last time we didn't use that wording. The ubar is not part of its mother's, right? We used it, but the Gemara didn't use it. Ubar is not part of, it's not just a limb in the body of the mother. Even though she herself isn't, the Vlad can become sanctified. That's the machloket. So we've now narrowed again the machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Barpada, to a case of an ubar within the womb of a blemished mother. Now we're going back to this machloket about whether, if you say ragla shel zo ola, does it become an ola or not? If you remember Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, said on Rabbi Yossi, ba'lo b'mukdashim ha'omer ragla shel zo ola, kula ola, and from there he wanted to learn that if one is memir, an aver, they say instead of this animal, I'm sanctifying this aver, it is effective because when he says aver, he really means the whole thing. So it's like behema v'behema, whereas Tanakama said, even though if you say regel shelzo ola, kula ola, I wouldn't make the same connection here to tmura and saying this aver in place of this animal wouldn't apply. But both of them agree that regla shelzo ola, kula ola, but now we're going to see that there's a dissenting opinion. Okay, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda think that it's not the case. And we actually learned this whole sugya in Chulin and in Erchin. Tana Rabbanan. You might have thought that if somebody says, the regal of this is an ola, the whole thing will be an ola. Kind of like Rabbi Yossi said, right? You might have thought so. Clearly, this Braita is going to say no. Talmud Lamar, or at least the first opinion in the Braita. Therefore, it says, Kol asher yitain mimenu l'Hashem yeh kadosh. Okay, the pasuk, the whole pasuk reads like this. Im behema asher yakrivu mimena korban l'Hashem. Right? From if a behema you're going to sacrifice. Anything you give from it to Hashem will be kadosh. So what do they learn from this? It sounds like anything you say, part of this will be kadosh, so part of it will be kadosh. Okay, and not the whole thing. So if you say raglash ol ola, only the regal is an ola. Well, now you're going to have a bit of a problem. Well, now what do you want to do? You're going to want to redeem that leg because, right, you don't want to sacrifice the whole animal. It's a big loss for you. All you wanted was to say the leg is kadosh. But if the leg is kadosh, right, is the leg kadosh kedushat aguf, in which case you can't redeem it, right? If it's kadosh kedushat damim, so you can redeem it. But what do they say? It's in fact kadosh kedushat aguf, and you can't redeem it. Yachol titzei l'chulin, you might have thought you can redeem it, and it'll be chulin, and just pay the value of the leg. Talmud lamar, yihi yeh kadosh. It says in the pasuk, shayakru mimenu l'Hashem, yihi yeh kadosh. So what do you see? It stays in its kedusha status, it can't be changed. We saw that before, where yihi yeh shows you can't take it out of hektesh status. So basically, now you're a little stuck, because what's the only thing you could do with this leg? sacrifice it. You can't sacrifice it without sacrificing the rest of the animal. So one option is, very simply, sacrifice the whole animal. But that's a big loss for you. So if you don't want to incur financial loss, so what do? This is one of those cases, should have watched what you were saying, right, and been more careful not to say something, right? Don't open your mouth. Haketzad, so what do? Timacher litzarche olot. Okay, what do? So I sell it to Shari. Shari has to bring an ola. Let's say Shari said, I'm going to bring a voluntary korban ola. You now go to the store, you want to buy an ola. I find you, I say, buy my animal. Because then my leg will end up being sacrificed in the mizbeach, but I won't have to take a loss because I can sell you the animal. So you buy the animal and you sacrifice it. You can't buy the animal for anything else because I already said it's an ola, so it has to be used for an ola.
But you said only the leg.
But I said only the leg. So now what happens? So I can sell you. You want the whole animal, so you're happy to buy the whole animal and sacrifice it. So that's perfect. I now get the money. Now what happens with the money I get? So dameh chulin. The money I get is chulin, because the rest of the animal, right? Let's say the animal is worth 100. Let's say the leg is worth 5. So dameh chulin chutz mi dameh ever sheba. Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. What happens is, the 5 shekels that I sold it to you, or the value of the animal, of the leg, that is hekdesh, and I have to give that to the Beit HaMikdash. But the rest of it, the 95, I can keep. So that's my solution. I find someone who wants to buy an ola. Obviously, I'm a little stuck if I can't find someone who wants to buy an ola. But if I can find someone who wants to buy an ola, then they take it, they sacrifice the whole animal, and then I get my value, right, everything back, except for the amount of the leg. So that's the solution. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minayin Omer, Ragla Shel Zo Ola. Remember, this was all to say that Ragla Shel Zo Ola is not Kula Ola. Comes Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, who says, Minayin Omer, Ragla Shel Zo Ola, Shekula Ola. How do we know the whole thing becomes an Ola? Shenemar, he takes the same pasuk, but darshans it differently. Kol Asher Yitei Mimenu Lashem. Kishu Omer, Yiyeh Kodesh. Right? If you give Mimenu Lashem, he understands to be the same case. Right? You take a part of it, Lashem. Yeh Kodesh, instead of saying Yeh Kodesh means it always stays sanctified, it means even more than that, really. It means it will be Kodesh, the whole animal will be Kodesh. Notice even the subject of the sentence was Behema. Im Behema Asher Yakrivu Mimena Korban Lashem, Kol Asher Yitei Mimenu Lashem, Yeh Kodesh. Yeh Kodesh refers back to the whole animal will be Kodesh. Lirabot et Kula. Those extra words, Yeh Kodesh, come to include the entire animal. Okay, that's your machloket. Now we're going to go back to this timacher letzorchei olot. Amar mar. Okay, that was just a quote from the Braita. Now we're going to go back to this timacher letzorchei olot. V'hakamaite, there's another problem with this. If Shari takes that animal now and sacrifices it, hakamaite behema mechuseret. She doesn't really own that leg, because that leg is already hektesh. She can't buy hektesh. So now, Shari is bringing a sacrifice that's theoretically missing an aver. It's actually not, but it's theoretically missing it because she doesn't really own it. So, Ela Amarava, Beomer, Hare Alai Ola Bechayeha. It's talking about someone who said, I'm taking upon myself an Ola from the parts of the animal on which its life is dependent. And since the leg, the life of the animal is not dependent on the leg, therefore, the ola is only, right, her promise to bring an ola wasn't to bring the entire animal, it was to bring the vital parts of the animal. And that doesn't include the leg, and then it's okay. So now it becomes a little trickier, because I have to go find someone who said they're taking upon themselves in ola b'chayeha. Maybe I could find someone who wants to do an ola, and I tell them, listen, if you do it in this way, I could sell you my animal.
You sort of said that the leg is a vital part.
No, so the leg is, no, so this case is not.
Depending on how far up.
Only if you go, right, farther up, then it is. But the assumption is that this case is not talking about, this. Likewise, when we were referred to it previously, we kept saying, this case is not. But if it were, because this is the case they disagree about, if it were, if you remember, we said Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And this is where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. But if it were vital, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree with him. Yeah. Which is exactly what we're going to discuss right now, by the way. Yeah.
Wait, I lost my train of thought for a second. But if you're obligated, no, it doesn't matter.
Okay, come back to it if it's still a question. Okay? So now, Amar Rav Chisda. Mode Rabbi Yehuda, and exactly what you're saying, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with davar shoseh utatrefa. If you were to cut it very high up the leg, you know, if you were to mean the leg from the very top, I assume what they think the leg means is the bottom part of the leg, from the knee down. But if you're going to go up to the top of the thigh already, then that's going to make the animal a trefa, and then Rabbi Yehuda will agree that you meant the whole animal. Rava amar b'davar she'oseh ta nevela. Not trefa, but something that makes it a nevela. That will be considered. But if it's just a trefa, then no. We're going to have to see in a minute what exactly the machloket is. Because aren't they really all the same? Trefa, it's going to die. Nevela, it's dead. And then, even strangely, Rav Sheshet Amar, third opinion, b'davar shehi meta. It's if it's going to make the animal die. Now, isn't a nevela an animal that's dead? So what's going on here? What are the differences between the three of them? Ma'i ikaben, so we're going to first start with ma'i ikaben Rav Chista l'Rava, the first two. Ikaben ayu, trefa chaya. The difference between them is, as I referenced this earlier, generally we say a trefa is an animal that's going to die within 12 months. But some people say, no, a trefa can actually live more than 12 months. It could still be a trefa, even though it's going to live more than 12 months. There's certain simanim of trefa that an animal could actually live through. So, if Rav Chista Savara la kemanda amar trefa ein achaya, he holds by the opinion that trefa is not going to live more than 12 months. And therefore he says, its life is trefa is equivalent to saying its life is dependent on it because it will die. And Rava, who doesn't use trefa as the definition, Savra lakamandamar, trefa chaya, holds that trefa could live, and therefore that's not his definition for what its life is dependent on. Umay ikaben Rava l'Rav Sheshet, what about the difference between nevela and meta? Isn't nevela a dead animal, right? The carcass of a dead animal? So, ikaben ayu to Rabbi Elazar. They disagree about Rabbi Elazar. De amar Rabbi Elazar, nitla yerech v'chalal shela. If you take out the thigh and the hole, the socket in which it sits, nevela. That animal is called a nevela even though it's not yet dead. Okay, as soon as you do that, since we know the animal is going to die momentarily, at that moment the animal is a nevela. So, Rava, who says nevela is basically its life is dependent on it, Rava savar laka Rabbi Elazar, holds like Rabbi Elazar. Rav Sheshet lo savar laka Rabbi Elazar. Rav Sheshet doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar, and that's why he doesn't bring nevela as the issue, but he brings meta, actually dead. Meitive. Now we're going to have a question on all these three Tanaim.
Wait, I remember my question.
Yeah.
Before, when you decided that you're at Maktisha a leg, right?
Okay.
And then somebody else comes and buys the entire animal, and you therefore get the money. So first of all, you're doing one thing wrong, which is lowering from Kedusha Naguf to Kedusha Damim by getting the Damim that are chuling all together for that leg. I said, well, you're still...
Well, it's not so clear.
You should still be obligated to give a... In other words, you got rid of your leg, but you're still obligated to give a leg.
So you have the money now, you give the money instead. But so this is going to connect with something we're going to see after, which is when you say you're going to, there's no such thing as bringing a leg for Ola. So maybe what you really meant is the value of it. You have to view it as value.
If you said, is it Lo Amarta Klum, or did you say something that has
right
to be translated into something?
Right, or it's more like taking a Baal Mum and saying, I'm bringing this as a sacrifice. Since you can't do that, what you really said was Kedusha Dami. So that's the way this is viewed. That you're basically saying Kedusha Dami, although hold off on it because we're going to get to after something that's kind of similar to it, okay, that addresses it. I think it addresses directly your issue, okay? Or at least indirectly. Okay, we'll get to it very soon. So now we have a problem with all these people. What did they all say? They all said, they all agreed that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yossi, in which case, if it's an Eber Shanshamat Luyabo, they just disagree with what's the terminology for saying, you know, the life is dependent on, is it Nevela, is it Trefa, is it Meta? Okay, but they all agree with that he agrees with them. What's the problem? We've had this kind of problem many times. Amar Rabbi Meitive. So here's a source that contradicts. Amar Rabbi, Nir'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'davar she'ein ha'neshama t'luyabo. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in a case where ain ha'neshama t'luyabo. Okay, we actually paskin that way. So you would have to sell this animal. The regel is not, the whole animal doesn't become an ola. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'davar she'neshama t'luyabo. But I hold like Rabbi Yossi in a case where the life is dependent on it. Now, what does that imply? La michlal de pligale de Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't it seem to imply that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees? Because if Rabbi says, I hold like him and not like him, they must disagree. And everyone just said that they agree about that case. So bishlama, we understand the first part of what Rabbi says makes sense. Yir'im de ver Rabbi Yehuda, but devar she'en ha'neshama t'luyabo, michlal de pligale de Rabbi Yossi, right? Because he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, if en ha'neshama t'luyabo. He says the whole thing's not hekdesh, and Rabbi Yossi says it is, and Rabbi says we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Ela nirim diber Rabbi Yossi, v'davar shaneshamat tluyabo, la v'chlal depalig alei Rabbi Yehuda, v'tiyuvta dekulu, and that would basically knock out all those shitot who all said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees. So they say, well, reread this source, lo. There's words missing from this bright end, this is the way it should read. Nirim divrei Rabbi Yossi li Rabbi Yehuda v'davar shaneshamat tluyabo. In an item where the neshama is tluyabo, nirim divrei Rabbi Yossi to Rabbi Yehuda. We just had something very similar to this a few days ago, where we basically changed it to read this, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Yossi in that case. Not that Rabbi says I'm paskening like him, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Yossi. Sha'af Rabbi Yehuda lo nechlak alav, and what's it, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda only disagrees with him, ela b'davar she'en neshama tluyabo. Okay, so they basically reread the source to basically say that. Okay, now, notice the source that we use to learn this all out from, that the regel is olah, according to Rabbi Yossi, is talking about a behema. It said behema in the pasuk. Behema means animal, not birds. So, by Rava, ba'of mahu. Behema amarachmana, v'hala behemahi. Odilma korban amarachmana, v'hainami korbanhu. What if you have a bird? Since a bird can be a sacrifice, maybe it comes in the context of that pasuk, it says sacrifice. Or since a bird is not considered a behema, maybe it's not relevant to a bird. So, teku, we don't know the answer. By Rava, a further question. Higdish ever lidamav. Okay, if you were makdish an ever for its value. Oh, so now I'm stuck because I said that this was going to connect. But this specifically says, going back to your question, Naomi, this says if you specifically said I'm giving the value of the aver, but before it was really where you were machdish it kedushat aguf, and then so maybe your question really is still a good question, which is maybe I don't have a good answer yet, which is if really it's kedushat aguf. I think the way it works is like this: it's kedushat aguf, but that's why I sold it to Shari, and Shari now sacrificed the kedushat aguf aspect of it. You're saying, why don't I have to give kedushat aguf?
And it's if the money you get is chulin, that's even more shocking.
No, not it's not. The money I get for the rest of the animal is chulin. The money I get for that is still hektish. But that money, I guess, only has kedushat amin. But that's because I redeemed something that had kedushat aguf onto money, right? There's certain cases, you can't just take an animal and redeem it onto money. But you can if it has a moon, for example, right? If it's blemished. In this case, I didn't have a way to sacrifice just the leg. I mean, I could have made the whole animal, but we don't make me take such a loss, so they allow me to redeem it, and then it has damim. So I guess it had kedushat aguf, it's just that I moved it, I was able to
maybe
transfer it.
Maybe you weren't supposed to have done that in the first place. There's a way out.
Maybe, or nobody really says it's wrong, it's just it doesn't make so much sense to say that, because you really haven't done it, you know, you really can't sacrifice it. But Shari takes
the
but the leg kept the kedushat aguf. That's
yeah. That if you do tamura, I mean, if the emphasis is on something else. That's on
right.
The animal, and this is on the person. That if you're doing something that isn't permitted,
right? But nobody says this isn't permitted.
To be done anyhow, and then you suffer the consequences for it.
No, but nobody. But this isn't something that's usher. This isn't like tamura. I can say anything about anything I want. I can sanctify anything I want. It's just that. It's not wrong. Theoretically, really what I should do is sacrifice my whole animal. But Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what Rabbi Yossi says. What you really meant was you want to sacrifice your whole animal because there is no such thing as a leg. But I really didn't want to sacrifice my whole animal. I just maybe didn't realize that there was no way to sanctify just the leg. So then, because it's kedushat aguf, that's why I have to give it to Shari. So it is kedushat aguf. I have to give it to Shari, who's going to sacrifice it. So the leg gets treated in the proper way. But my achrayut, the fact that whether I'm makdish something kedushat aguf or kedushat amin, it doesn't really matter. Because klapai is just the value of it. In other words, I just have to give that amount of money to the Beit HaMikdash, right? So the leg has to get sacrificed, so I give it to someone who's going to sacrifice it. But I can take that money then and just put it in the kupon. That's how I understand it. Okay, but now we have a question. What if I said this leg is not la'ola, but this leg, its value. I want to give the value of the leg to the Beit HaMikdash. So now, what's the question? Ma'u detichot leg kedushat aguf. Do we say, now, what's the issue? If you remember, we already learned that what? If I say I'm going to take an animal that's a perfectly good animal. Remember, we talked about two opposite cases. I take a Baal Mum and I sanctify it with a Mizbeach. It's only got Kedusha Perek Habayi, Kedusha Tamim, because I can't sacrifice it on the Mizbeach. And the flip is, if I say I'm going to take an animal that was perfectly good, Tmima, and I say I'm going to give it to Perek Habayi, I'm not allowed to do that. Remember, that's a lotase. And what do I have to do? I have to bring it on the Mizbeach. So what if I say I'm giving this regel to the Perek Habayi? Since the regel is part of an animal, is it like bringing an animal, right? So do we say, so here, well, let's go through his deliberation. So mi amar, do we say, kevan denachta le kedushat damim, since kedushat damim is chal on this aver, nachta lanami kedushat aguf, since already we can sanctify the aver, so really we're going to end up saying, well, it's an animal, so it's going to have kedushat aguf. Umi da'achta shele lechad aver, and since we're sanctifying one aver, kedushat aguf then, akdashe lekula. We're then going to say, oh, well, since you made one limb kedushat aguf, we're going to now say, oh, well, the whole animal is kedushat aguf. O dilma, chav migo amre, tre migo lo. You can't take two steps, right? What do we have to do to get there? We have to do two jumps. We have to say, first, since the kedushat damim works, we're going to now say, oh, it's an animal. Well, animal, kedushat damim, turns into kedushat aguf. And then, once the leg is kedushat aguf, we're then going to say, well, the whole animal now is sanctified. So, could we make two jumps, or could we not make two jumps? So they say to him, Tifcha lemidide, learn it from what you yourself said. Dahamar Rava, didn't Rava say, Hikdish sachar ledamav kadosh kedushat aguf. If you take a male and say, its value, right, this is for an ola, its value is to the Beit HaMikdash, it's kadosh kedushat aguf. You have to sacrifice it, because it's valid to go as a korban ola. So they say, no, that you can't learn it from there, because hatzam da'akta she lekule, that's only, he sanctified the entire animal. Ha'cha da'akta shechad ever mai. Here we're talking about he only said one limb. So just because you say that an animal kedushat damim is going to automatically be put as sacrifice to the Mizbeach, can you say the same thing for an ever? Okay, and the answer they have is teku. Okay. Ba'minei, this should be... Abai mi Rabba, I think. Second, Abai mine. There's a bunch of girsaot here. Right. Mine Abai mi Rabba. Okay? Abai asked Rabba the following question. Higdish chad ever mahu bigiza. Another question about being makdish chad ever. There's trying to get at what does it mean to say this ever is kadosh. What elements of an animal kadusha does this have? So if you say, are you allowed to shear the animal? Because the leg, right, can you shear the leg? Let's learn it from here. It says in a braita, lo tagoz b'chor tzoncha, you can't shear the b'chor of your tzon, aval atagozez b'shalcha v'shalachiri, but if you own it jointly with a non-Jew, then you can do giza, you can shear it. So what do you see? There it's partly kadosh, because it's got part of kedusha b'chor of a Jew. Partly not. Likewise, this animal, part of its kadosh, the leg, and not the rest of it. So, mutar b'giza. And then they say, Abai says, no, that's not a good answer. Hatam lo nachta l'kedusha klal. There, it's a total exception to the rule. There's no b'chor, because a jointly owned animal has no b'chor. It's not like it has partial kedusha. It has no kedusha b'chor. Ha-ha nachta l'kedusha. But this has kedusha on the leg. So maybe you would say it's aser b'giza. Lishnachrina, there's no answer, by the way. Lishnachrina, a different version of the same question, okay? This is just a repeat theme, always Lishanot Achronot Acherim here. Hatan ein biyado lahakdisho. What Abai said back to him is, there, you can't possibly sanctify the Bechor, because it's partly owned by a non-Jew, and you don't have rights to his half of the animal. But hacha biyado lahakdisho, since this one, you could theoretically, you might not want to take the financial loss, but you could theoretically say, I'm sanctifying the whole animal because it all belongs to you. In that case, maybe we would make it asur b'giza. Ba'minei Abaye Miraba. He asked him another question. Hikdish ora mahu ba'avodah. If you sanctify the skin of the animal, the hide, would you be allowed to work the animal? The assumption is that by working the animal, it's going to affect the hide negatively. So, tashma, say, oh, let's learn it from here. Masha b'me'ah, we learned this the other day. Masha b'me'ah shel zo'ola. If you say whatever's in the fetus of this animal, you know, what's in the womb of this animal is a korban ola. Muteret b'giza, you can shear the animal itself, the pregnant animal. Va'asura b'avodah, but you can't work the animal mishum kichush ubar sheva, because it's going to weaken the Ubar Shabavshi works. So what do you see here? It must be Aser B'Giza. I'm sorry, must be Aser B'Avodah if you were Makdish the hide, because it will make the hide worse by, it'll cause Kichush, same thing. So Amar Leah, Abaye says back to him, Ki Katani Asura B'Avodah Midirabbanan. Wait, that source that said that you can't work the pregnant animal is only Aser Midirabbanan. So he says back to him, what do you mean? If it's all only Durabanan, well then they should have answered Giza and Avoda to the pregnant animal. Right? So the fact that they did it must prove it's Doraita. So what does he answer him back? Giza Nami Titzar should also be forbidden. So Amar Leah, no. When the rabbis were Gozer, what were they Gozer on? Avoda de Mikhasha Gazer Beirabanan. Giza lo Gazer Beirabanan. There would be no point to make a Gzera on the Giza. There would only be a point to make a Gzera on the Avoda. So therefore, yes, it was only a Gzera, in which case we can't learn from there to our case. Okay, because that's just a Gzera Durabanan. You might say, well, maybe they make a Gzera Durabanan here, but I think his question was really Mikara Din. Would it be Asra for Avoda? So he answers him basically, it wouldn't be Asra and Avoda if the hide, or at least you can't prove it from there. We actually don't really have an answer. It's just that we can't learn it from that case because that case is different. Now Abai is going to ask Rav Yosef a question. Ba'amina Abayim Rav Yosef. The last two he asked Rava, now he's going to ask Rav Yosef, right? The previous questions Rava asked himself. Hishlamim uvladachulim. Let's say you say the pregnant animal is going to be a shlamim, but I'm excluding, I don't want the animal to be, the fetus, to be hektish. So the fetus is chulin, right? This is if you can separate the two. Bishachata bifnim. Oh, now we have great questions. We're going to talk about number one, the iser of bringing chulin in the mikdash. And the reverse, we're going to discuss shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to take something that's sanctified and shecht it outside the mikdash. So, what if you have a combo? You have this animal, the tekdesh, but inside is chulin. So you're allowed to shecht the animal while it's still pregnant. L'manda amar v'ladei kodashim b'havayatan hin kodashim. If you say, right now, we do say vlad hekdesh is hekdesh. Except if you say that only when it's born does it become hektish, then right now when it's in utero, it's not hektish. So do we say mihavi chulin ba'azara? Do we say this is going to be chulin in the azara? We can't slaughter this animal till the
between
till it's born.
Kalim and kodshei kodashim, like shlamim is kodshim kalim. Isn't there a difference?
But you still have the azara. You just don't have the way.
It should make a difference, right? You still have to sheft it inside.
It's in the same place.
Right. It's in right. You're yeah. Well, the shchita it's in. There was things that the bitzafon, shchitata bitzafon, but it's still all in the azara. So mi have chulin ba'azara, although is this like bringing chulin ba'azara? It's a fascinating question, right? It's classic Gemara thinking, right? What this is, it's shlamim, it's hektish, we're supposed to sacrifice it. On the other hand, it's got chulin inside of it. So how do we treat it? Amar lei, mi karina bei pir chat nimcha makom v'savachta. The pasuk where we learn that you can't bring chulin inside is a pasuk that says when you get far away from the mikdash, right, and you want to eat meat, you're allowed to eat it, right? You're allowed to slaughter it outside, and from there they derive that you can't bring chulin inside the mikdash. Now, this is not a case where it would have to be a case in order to say it's chulin that you're bringing inside. It would have to be something that potentially could be slaughtered outside, and since you can't slaughter this animal outside because it's shlamim, therefore, it's going to be allowed to slaughter it inside. Okay, it's a good answer for us, because to say you have to leave this animal in limbo seems a little bit weird. Ba'amina Abaye mi Rav Yosef. We'll just finish to the Mishnah. Abaye asked Rav Yosef the following question, the opposite now. Hi chulin uvladah shlamim. Let's say you were makdish the vlad. V'shachata b'chutz, and now you want to slaughter it outside. Mi mechayev alei mishum shchutei chutz. Are you going to get karet because you slaughtered chulin outside? Olo, or not, because again, the fetus is chulin. Amalei, mi karina be behaviyum la Hashem. Right, the pasuk there says, "Lamana sheyaviu etzefchem asherim zofchim apnei asadeh." You have to bring them there. Behaviyum la Hashem. You have to bring them to Hashem. So this is not something that you could have brought to Hashem, and therefore you're not obligated if you slaughter it outside because the mother was chulin. And the lishna karina is going to say not much different. Amalei, ra'ul lepetach ol moed chayavin ala b'chutz. Only things that could actually go into ol moed, you're chayavin b'chutz, because they darsh in the next words in the pasuk instead of Hevi'um LaHashem, says Hevi'um LaHashem al petach ol moed. So only something that could theoretically go into ol moed, you'd be chayav on shchutei chutz. And since this animal was chulin, even though the ubar was hektesh, so therefore you're not chayav shchutei chutz. What?
What if the bar has a moon?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, but you don't
wait,
know.
What does that have to do with this?
how can you even hekdesh a fetus? Because you don't know how it's going to come
No, well,
out.
First of all, it doesn't matter. So if you're makdish the fetus and it turns out it's a baal mum, so then it becomes kedushat damim and not kedushat aguf.
Okay. As with anything.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So that's what it would be. Okay.